If you'd like to read in the Pew Bible, we'll be on page 1501 and 1502. If you brought your own Bible, you'd turn to Matthew chapter 8. If you do it on the phone, you can bring up Matthew 8 or on the tablet, whichever works best for you. And let's stand together as we read a few verses from Matthew chapter 8. And we're back to journeying with Jesus as we begin our new year. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1 says, "When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, 'See that you tell no one, but go your way and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them.' Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' The centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it.' When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into utter darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.' And Jesus said to the centurion, 'Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you.' And his servant was healed that same hour. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'He himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness.'" And Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that as we look and read of these activities, we are amazed at your goodness, at your power, at your strength. And so this morning we ask, Lord, that you would touch us, that you would lift each of our hearts today to focus on the many and wonderful ways that the love of God is displayed to us. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated as we journey with Jesus. The subtitle of this message would be Miracles. And you will find that in chapter 8 and 9, there are 10 miracles that are given to us. Matthew did not write them in chronological order. If you look at where they're mentioned in the other Gospels, you'll see how in different places these miracles took place. But Matthew put them together in a package, as it were, in chapters 8 and 9. And you know, when you think about, well, what is a miracle? And one of the definitions I came across as I studied for the message is, it is a work wrought by divine power for a divine purpose, a work wrought by God's divine power for God's divine purpose. Now, you know, as we read, we often fail to realize that there is a ceaseless war, a ceaseless conflict raging between the Savior and Satan for the souls of people. And this morning, as we think about miracles, I want to put it in that context, because as we see and look at these miracles, we get a glimpse into that ongoing conflict. Yes, we know who the winner is, and we know that the Savior will always win. But there is a battle that goes on in the hearts of people. You see, they're rivals. One is heavenly and one is hellish. They are rivals. One is sacred, the other satanic. One is fair and one is foul. One is beautiful and the other bestial. One blesses and the other blasts. One is the reigning Lord and the other the roaring lion. And as we think about the battle, it is fought on many levels, often in the inner chambers of the heart, in the human mind and the human will and desires. Miracles, 10 in these two chapters, give us a picture also of the reality of the battle. Now, you know that in the time I have on Sunday morning, I'm not going to look at all 10 of these miracles, but I do want us to think about 4 of them. And let's just think together, first of all, recognizing, and I should just mention something while I think of it. Don't blame Brother Alex that there aren't any slides up this morning, okay? It's not his fault. He does them so faithfully and so well. You know whose fault it is? Mine. Shay is pointing at him because he was supposed to preach this morning, but he's not feeling great. So keep him and others struggling with this cold and flu in your prayers. I want you to notice with me that there are different kinds of miracles. And isn't it interesting that as you journey with Jesus, you cannot help but bump into the miracles that Jesus is involved with as we journey with him through his life and ministry in Matthew's gospel? I said there are different kinds, and so let's think about them for just a moment. The first one involves a leper. Here is an individual person who comes to Jesus and worships him, says verse 2. And I want you to notice that he does not doubt Christ's ability. He's not saying to Jesus, "Do you have the power to make me well?" He's saying, "Are you willing to make me well?" There's a difference there, isn't there? This leper, as he comes, is asking, "Is God willing?" And sometimes when we think about miracles, we are convinced of the devil's lie that there's no point in asking because God will never do it. But if we look in his word, we see there are incredible things that God has done and continues to do to this very day. This miracle, of course, is a man who is untouchable and unclean, who has to say that as he goes along, "Unclean, unclean." And as he comes to Jesus that day, worshiping him, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." What an amazing Savior we have. And you know, Jesus could just have said, "Be clean." But don't you love the fact that Jesus first touches him and says, "I'm willing. I'm willing." I wonder how long it had been since anyone touched that man. But Jesus touched him. Without hesitation, in all the power of God, touched him. You know, leprosy is a picture of sin, and only Christ can forgive it and cleanse it away. And here is a living illustration of that. And you know, sometimes the devil convinces people that either they're too bad and could never be saved, or they're too good and they don't need to be saved. But in either event, Jesus is perfectly willing to reach out and touch us. And all over the years, I've seen many times lives that he has touched that the world had given up on, and he made all the difference. So here is an individual miracle, if you will, one man who so needed the touch of God. And then there is another kind of miracle here. There is a Gentile who comes to Jesus in verse 5. Jesus entered Capernaum. A centurion, a Roman soldier, over 100 men, came to him. And here in this miracle, the soldier is saying, I have a servant who's sick and he needs a miracle. Now, Jesus could have said, you Romans always put my people down. You torment us. You put stuff in our temple. You do despicable things. But he didn't say that. Because, you see, the love of God and the truth of God and the power of God is for all. And so Jesus says, I'll come and I will heal him. Now, he didn't say, I'll come and try to heal him. He said, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion then says, I'm not worthy that you would come into my house. And I don't know about you, but oftentimes I feel that way. I'm not worthy. Who could be worthy that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would walk into your house? How precious are these miracles when we stop and we consider that they're not just stories, but that they involve real people in a very real way. And the Lord Jesus commends this man for his faith. And here we are reminded that this Gentile helps us to understand that faith is not restricted to any one group of people, but it is God's gift to all who will trust in Christ, regardless of the color of their skin or the place where they live or their circumstances or what their tradition has been. Oh, when you think about the kinds of miracles, they always display the love of God in such a powerful way. There's another kind here. There's a family miracle. Did you notice it? In verse 14, Jesus came into Peter's house and saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. And here is a family miracle. You know, I love the fact that Jesus did visitation, don't you? I love the fact that he was quite willing to go into homes and to meet with people and to talk and to touch them. This family situation, that's often our greatest need, isn't it? I'm going to ask you to put your hand up because it would include all of us. If I asked this morning, who among us has a family need that we would love to see God touch? That would include all of us, every single one. Yeah. And so here, this is not just narrative. Matthew put it in the Word of God so that we would see that Jesus is involved in family miracles. He is able to do just that. And it is incredibly important as it leads to something even greater. Not only did he touch Peter's family, that mother-in-law, of course, gets up and starts to take care of everyone in the house. But did you notice the very next thing that happens in verse 16? And verse 15, Jesus touched her hand and the fever left her. But in verse 16, it says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This family miracle, word must have gotten around pretty fast, because that evening we find a community miracle, and Jesus is miraculously touching those who are demonically oppressed and those who are sick in various ways. You see, the devil tells so many lies, and the problem is sometimes we believe them. I think about this particular statement here. It's just a word. He didn't have to go through some great shenanigan. It says that he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Jesus did that. When I was a very troubled young man involved in violence, there were times when I would long to go to the seaside, and I'd drive those few miles just to hear the rhythm of the ocean and to hear that sort of peaceful thing happening. And I remember I would watch often the cross-channel ferry going across to England from Belfast, and as I would watch it, I remember asking a man, because one day the waves seemed so big and it looked as if, oh, you can't see it, and then, oh, there it is again. Oh, man, it's sunk. No, there it is again. And I remember asking a man close beside me, how do they keep position in the storm? And he must have been an old sailor, because he said, it's the power on the inside of the boat, the ship, that keeps position. It's the strength from the inside. And you know, I've kept that saying because when you stop and think about all of the issues that we face, is that not still true? It's the power on the inside that holds us in position, that keeps us steady. That miraculous power of God in the ministry of His Holy Spirit to those who are His children. Just a word makes all the difference. You know, we live in a society that has all but given up asking for miracles because we believe the lies that are in the media, that everything can be explained. Hallelujah! I cannot explain Jesus. Bless the Lord. I can't even begin to think about the things that He can do and does do and will do. But I know that we need the challenge to walk by faith and to trust Him even when we can't see it. So there are different kinds of miracles. My time is almost gone, and it's the new year, and Shay should be preaching. So you blame him for my going overtime, okay? All right. Not only are there different kinds of miracles, but there are different lessons from the miracles. Let me go quickly through a few. Jesus did not perform these miracles to get a crowd. Now today, when miracles are happening, we get the drum roll and let's get a big crowd because something supernatural is happening. Jesus did not perform miracles to get a crowd. God does not need gadgets or programs. He just needs a word. Praise God. He gave us these miracles to show us that He wants to meet people's needs. And when you look at the ministry of Jesus, you find there is a deep understanding and a care and a compassion that is always there. It is still there today. These miracles help us to see they were used to prove that he is indeed who he says, the Messiah, the one who took our iniquities on him, the one who is Lord over all things. And if you study the miracles, you'll see that he's the Lord over nature and he's the Lord over so many issues and areas of life. He performed the miracles so that people could see the saving truth of faith and love and grace in Christ's life. He can cleanse and wash away our sin time after time, just as communion reminds us. He can work by faith. Hebrews 11 is a catalog of those who walked by faith, and God performed so many amazing miracles in them and through them. He can touch, oh, so many things. You look at Hebrews 11 and you see each of those is so personal. He didn't do it the same in each life, but in each one there's this personal work of God. And I have a friend, his name is Phil. He's a director of missions for the Baptists down in the southern states. And Phil has leukemia. But 2 years ago, he was with me in Nigeria. And this year, when I was in the Ivory Coast, he was in Nepal. And he has a handful of pills every day. And you know what his favorite verse is? From Hebrews 11:35, along with the catalog of all those doing great exploits, it says, there are others who refused release to gain a better resurrection. He said, God chose not to physically heal me, but he gave me release. And as long as I can, I will serve him. Oh, I'm so thankful that he reveals to us he can work in families. Does that not excite you on this first Sunday of this year? Who knows what God will do in our families through the course of this year and the ones that he will touch in a miraculous way. Some years ago, Decision Magazine with the Billy Graham Association published my testimony. And I received a letter from a man. I had to get it translated, but he was working in Saudi Arabia on the oil field. He was from Kerala in southern India, and he was saved through reading that if God could save a terrorist, God could save anybody. And so he wrote to tell me, and he sent me a picture. And in the picture, there he is in the midst of his family. And when I got the translation, it said, when I found Christ, I went home, and as I shared Jesus with my family, we are now starting a church as a family. You see, he can do that. We're amazed, are we not? He can touch communities in his power. Now we call this revival. I pray for it every day. I have no faith whatsoever in human programs. I have no faith whatsoever in bits and pieces that say, do this and you'll find revival. But I have great faith in the Lord God that when he comes and takes over, there is no doubt and there is no credit or glory to man, because all the glory is his. I stood in a church that Roberta and I were involved as God planted it over in Alberta. One night at the end of the service, at close to 9 o'clock, when the Holy Spirit came in and filled the place. And a little after midnight, I had to say, some of you need to go to work tomorrow. Let's just make a circle and pray. Families were healed that night. Relationships between families in the church were healed that night. People who had been skeptical all of a sudden realized there is a presence in this place that is far beyond anything that I could ever imagine. One lady went home early, and she came to see me the next morning, and she said, "I missed it." And I said, "No, if you go to Jesus, you'll never miss it." Dear friends, as he performed all these miracles, his power was not diminished, no, not even one little bit. He has not changed. Last thing. Yes, there are different kinds of miracles and different lessons as we look at them and learn from them. But I want you to notice with me there is one thing in common. You look at all the miracles listed in these two chapters, and you'll see in each situation, they came to Jesus. They came to Jesus. A human step is required to ask. The leper asked him. The centurion asked him. Peter took him into his house so that he could see the need that was there. The community brought everybody to him. And I want to ask you as I wrap things up this morning, trying to be concise in time, what will you ask him for in 2020? What will you bring to him today? Some he touched as they came. Others they brought to him in the evening. The centurion wanted only a word. You see, Jesus didn't put all the conditions on it. He just was there and met his people and their needs. He's a miracle-working God. And sometimes we have not because we ask not. And sometimes we ask without the heart being right and the motives being right. And sometimes we fear that we won't ask because nothing will happen. And sometimes we want to ask just what we want instead of, "Lord," that leper said, "if you are willing." And you see, there is the will of God involved in miracles. I close this morning going to Jeremiah 32 and reading just two verses. Jeremiah 32, 26 and 27. And here is what they say. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" You and I can answer that question. Heavenly Father, we know that there is nothing too hard for you. And in a way, we come just as that leper did that day, to say, "Lord, if you are willing, you can." But Lord, in each of our hearts this morning, there are needs. We all certainly have family needs. There are other needs. We want to begin this year as a church family just coming to you and saying, "Lord, if you're willing, would you save my child? Would you save my siblings, my parents? Would you save my family? Would you heal my family? Would you touch me with your grace and goodness once again? Would you come, O God?" so that we as your people may rejoice in you. And may this truly be a year of revival in our own hearts, first of all, in this city and community, province and nation, and in this world that is so desperately broken and hurting. Oh God, rend the heavens and come. Now we're going to sing, dear friends, and as I close in Jesus' name, I just encourage you, if God's been speaking to you this morning as we sing this hymn, you bring that need to the altar, not to John, but to Jesus. He is still the Lord of miracles.